Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listeners. This is Paul Segretto at the Franchise Essential Show with my co-host, the one, the only, the infamous, the King of Swing, the Sultan of SWAT from the Cleveland area. The Franchise King himself, Joe LaBava. Joe, how's it hanging today?
Oh, man, we're rocking and rolling in Cleveland, Ohio. 72 degrees, sunny and balmy.
That's a winter day in Houston.
Don't even start, because I can't wait to talk to you when I'm looking out the window with blizzard condition. What's it like down yonder?
It's actually a little bit overcast.
As usual.
Probably about 85 degrees. Typical weather. The weathermen here don't have any accountability. They just come up with the same forecast each and every day. So I understand Winston is 7 years old today?
Yes, yes. The official guardian of the Franchise Kingdom is 7 years old today. I'm sure he'll be coming up here drooling all over me with his wet beard any minute now. But, yeah, he's a lucky seven. How old's little Dolce?
Dolce was 4 years old the other day. Dolce, the social media wonder dog, is still in the cutest dog competition. This week is the seventh week she has made it. So continue to vote out there. You know, I want to take a moment to I've been real busy over the last couple of weeks with speaking engagements and webinars and stuff like that. And I want to thank the Women's Franchise Network here in Houston and Deb Evans, the CEO at Computer Explorers, for inviting me to speak about social media last week. It was a well-attended event. I got to meet Doc Cohen, the former IFA chairman and current multi-unit franchisee for Great American Cookie Company, Pretzel Time, Pretzel Maker, and TCBY. Quite a gentleman. He really gets it and is really looking to embrace social media. Also, I completed the other day the first segment of the Frantelligence webinar series on using social media to grow your franchise brand. And Ginny Dietrich, as we're speaking, is probably ending her first segment on the series as well. And, of course, she's on four consecutive Thursdays starting today, and I'm on four consecutive Tuesdays starting this past Tuesday. Next Tuesday I'll be on again, and it'll be about developing a social media marketing strategy for franchise organizations. What have you got going on these days, Joel? I know you've been busy, right?
Yeah, busy with a lot of time-consuming things, but I really am starting to enjoy writing more and more every time I write an article. But, yeah, you know, I'm doing my usual articles over business.gov and Small Business Trends and Open Forum and wherever else I am told to write. I'm doing a lot of that. I'm also trying to round up just a couple select franchisors, not only to help find some franchise owners for, but also to get them going on some social media stuff that you and I can certainly help them with. But, you know, we're very selective. We want to make sure that the franchisors that we help get it somewhat and, you know, can take some direction and have some fun with us. So that's really what I'm doing.
Well, hopefully all of our efforts will pay off. You know, I met somebody else at the Women's Franchise Network, Barbara Carper of Profit Soup. And normally I'm quite bored at financial type of webinars for small business. It's just not my forte, and it usually puts me to sleep. But her segment of the speaking engagement last week, the Women's Franchise Networking event, had to do with tackling the profit pinch. And she really does a wonderful job with managing through break-even analysis. And if anybody has an opportunity to see Barbara and Profit Soup, I would highly recommend it. As a matter of fact, I would really recommend her two-hour segment being part of any new franchisee training that franchisors have. It was that good. It was very impressive, very hands-on, very interactive, and I really believe it will pay off in the long run for franchisees new and mature alike. Now, understand there's a lot going on in the franchise blog world today. So here's Joel with an update from All Top Franchising.
Yes, yes. I want to start by talking about the Domino's Pizza over at Franchise Talk, which is a great little blog from a really nice lady in Brazil. She's talking about Domino's Pizza. And Domino's is pretty good with social media. Obviously, they are known for getting your pizza there hot and on time, kind of like the old days. Never mind. But Domino's Pizza is now doing some interesting things with their website. Some websites, as you know, or hopefully you know, are optimized for mobile. So if you have an iPhone, whatever the heck that is, or a BlackBerry like me, the web pages actually come up on your screen looking like web pages as opposed to looking like gobbledygook. So one of the enhancements of the Domino's pizza site is, check this out, Paul. Actually, you might like this, a pizza tracker. It allows users to track the progress of their pizza order. Now, I don't know if that's a little obsessive compulsive. I mean, first of all, we don't want people obviously looking and texting and all that stuff while they're driving. But I don't know, for me, if I was on my way to pick up my pizza, I don't think I'd like go to the site and see how many minutes are left. But, I mean, it's a cool thing and it's kind of a cool idea. They also have some faster ordering functionality and a way to redeem coupons right off of your BlackBerry or iPhone. So pretty cool stuff. It's nice to see some franchisors really get into this Web 2.0 stuff. What do you think of that pizza idea there, Pizza Paul?
I like that. You know, when I first read it and they talked about a pizza tracker, I thought they were going to put some type of microchip in there and you'd be able to track the driver as he leaves the pizza place on his way over to your house. And I'm sure
they do that anyway.
Yeah,
they do that. Yeah, they do. They put it under the muffler, Paul. Under
the
muffler,
you go.
Not in the pizza.
There you go. Little GPS, right? I'm sure Linda Deschant of Strategic Growth Concepts is real pleased at some of this new technology. I know a couple of weeks ago we had her on about mobile marketing, and I know I've received a lot of inquiries and have directed a lot of people her way. So mobile marketing is here to stay. It's a great complement to traditional marketing as well as social media. So what else is going on in the blog world?
Well, this one actually is for the people that live in the coastal United States area, mostly the Southwest, Southern Coast, and the Eastern Seaboard. Franchise Direct, Donald Cranfer, which is a really it's actually a nice blog. Go to just franchisedirect.com and then hit blog. September 10th, he talked about disaster-proofing your franchise. And, Paul, you probably know more about this. When you were a franchisee of a certain automobile, I believe it was, automobile-related chain, did you guys have like a plan B in case a hurricane struck? Because, man, I mean, you know, Houston could obviously get hit by a hurricane. And, of course, the Houston Astrodome had a joyous time a couple years back.
Yeah, actually, first of all, you said Southwest United States, and let's clarify Southeast United States.
Yes, yes, one little mistake.
when I was a franchisee in an automotive-related business, we did not have a formal plan in place, but I'll tell you the best plan I could have had was stockpiling a little bit of revenue for that quote-unquote rainy day because, boy, I tell you, when a hurricane came through, a tropical storm came through, we might not have gotten, we might not have received a lot of physical damage, but being at a business for 2 or 3 or 5 or 10 days is quite devastating when you have a weekly break even of about $8,000 a week. So it's amazing. It's like somebody just shuts off a switch and everybody stops coming in. I know last year during Hurricane Ike, there was a lot of businesses that, again, did not receive any physical damage but were in areas that were not accessible because of flooding and downed trees, and ultimately they were out of business for a while. But I'll tell you my best disaster-related story. Back in 1989, I believe it was 89, when there was the great earthquake in San Francisco.
Uh-huh.
I was a director of company store operations for a national transmission chain, and we had four stores in the San Francisco area, one of them being in Santa Cruz, which was where the epicenter was, that took out the front of one of our businesses, as a matter of fact, one of our highest grossing shops. I wound up with four of my mechanics that were stuck inside our location on Eddy Street in San Francisco and could not get out. Now, fortunately, they weren't hurt. And they fortunately had a refrigerator on the premises and a little bit of food, but they were stuck in there for about 4 days before people could get to them. And it was really devastating. Some of those stores were, some of those centers were our highest grossing centers. It was a very devastating time, and we didn't have business interruption insurance. And I highly recommend that if you're in a hurricane zone or an earthquake zone, because our shops were out of operation for about 4 weeks. We lost
4 weeks
altogether. Yeah, 4 weeks we were out of operation, and one store never reopened. And, again, we didn't have business interruption insurance, and it really hurt. Adding insult to injury, the company, before I got there, had filed for bankruptcy protection because of a real estate deal gone sour, and cash was king. And to take that type of cash flow out of our day-to-day operations was more than the company could handle, and subsequently, about 8 months later, it went bye-bye.
Wow. Well, what kind of damage did that one store get that made it so you couldn't open it? Was it flood or wind? Or
yeah, the store that couldn't open, the center that couldn't open, just had some walls collapse, and it damaged some of the lifts in the center, and there wasn't ample insurance to cover it. We couldn't withstand it being closed for, you know, longer than 6 or 8 weeks because of our bankruptcy situation. A different situation, we might have been able to recover, but under the circumstances that we were in, it was just the icing on the cake. And then the center in Santa Cruz, which actually, like I said, was in the epicenter, had less damage, but it blew out the entire front office windows and did a bunch of damage there. And, of course, you know, we had cars in these locations, and we were dealing with customers that, and their insurance agents. It was a nightmare. And I was actually supposed to be there at that time, and the CEO of the company in the 11th hour said, no, I think I'll fly out there. And I was fortunately at home getting ready to watch the World Series game when it occurred. So I wasn't out there because I think my pants might have been a little bit soiled after that.
Oh, man. That's bad. You know, there's a lot of there's a lot of franchise headquarters in Florida, you know, and I wonder how together they are. I mean, Euroclean is even down there, and they do, you know, disaster restoration stuff. I wonder how prepared they are even in franchise headquarters for these disasters.
Well, you know, I've been exposed a lot to business interruption insurance and clauses in lease agreements of late because I have a couple of clients that are opening businesses because it's a very attractive situation right now from a tax standpoint in New Orleans. But the typical terminology in lease agreements as well as in franchise agreements, people are a little skeptical signing these boilerplate agreements with those clauses in there because of obviously what occurred during Katrina. And a lot of people are, you know, making sure negotiating some additional terms, more favorable terms, in their leases and in their franchise agreements, specifically regarding, you know, the New Orleans area.
Yeah, that boy, New Orleans, just I'm sure that they are still recovering. There's got to be still so much damage there, and the government was really kind of slow and responding. It was just a big headache. But what did you know anyone that was helping run the show over at the Astrodome or anyone that was involved over there?
You know, I don't know anybody that was running the show, but I do know of some people that did go there when they heard that buses were coming in from New Orleans. And this is a sad event, and this is a sad experience that I'm going to share. They went down there. They set up grills to barbecue food, brought water, brought a whole bunch of stuff. And the first bus that showed up was packed full of young 16 to 25-year-old guys that obviously pushed their ways on the bus, didn't stay back to help a lot of the women and children. And they were actually, the first two buses were actually just nothing but. And then a couple hours later, then the women and children started coming in. And it really left a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths. But, you know, such is society and such are the problems in lower-income neighborhoods. And fortunately, people were able to be helped and assisted afterwards. Hopefully the next time won't be as devastating and people will know how to act accordingly.
Yeah, hopefully.
Well, let's get away from this gloom and doom.
Yeah, man, I was going to say, how about if we talk about
something? What else you got going on?
Yeah, well, let's talk about something a little sweeter. How would you, as a live or podcast-type listener, like to have a cookie free in the chocolate chip mode on October 1st. Well, Paul's going to send you, each of you, no, I'm kidding. All you have to do is go to your local Mrs. Fields cookies, and they're giving away chocolate chip cookies on October 1st. Did you know, Paul, I bet that Pasta Paul doesn't even know this one. It is National Cookie Month next month, and Mrs. Fields wanted to jump in and give away cookies. I think it's pretty cool. Do you have any by you?
I only get one cookie?
Yeah, you especially only get one cookie, okay?
Oh,
I mean, we know how you work. We know.
I know. Can I get one of those big cookies that they call a cookie cake that's in a pizza box? Is that one cookie?
You can get one chocolate chip cookie that they're giving away. When you walk in, you'll know which cookie it is because they'll hand it to you.
Okay. you know,
man.
Trying to
work the system, working the system.
I know you got to work the system. If it's free, it's for me. That's my motto. You know, it's funny how words can be twisted around. I follow Sharon Hayes on Twitter and on Facebook, and Sharon does a great job. She's very well respected and followed, and she posted something this morning right before the show that I had to share, and it was some funny ads. So we'll kind of look at this like the Jay Leno show with headlines. Listen to this ad and how people can screw up when they put it. And this is really important in social media because you got to really be careful what you write. In one ad, it said, surgeon wanted for a new health clinic opening in the area. No experience necessary. Must have your own tools.
Come on.
I kid you not. Here's another one. I love this one. Potty chair, solid oak, light brown stain, $20.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Go on. I hope you have more.
Okay.
It's getting kind of gross.
All right, here's another one.
Yeah.
Will the person who got hit in the head with a tomato in the 1950s please contact, and then there's a phone number.
Oh, my goodness.
And I thought this was your phone number, but I was wrong. It said free rent in exchange for an elderly woman.
I'm sure I could find one or two.
Yeah, and then last but not least, I love this one. Last but not least, soccer ball signed by either Pele, the former Brazilian soccer player, widely renowned by most experts and fans to be the finest player that has ever existed, or by some guy named Pete.
Oh, man. That's
There's one more. There's one more, and I love this. This poor man, George Brownridge, evidently took 15 women of a group on a shopping spree. And here's the ad that the group put in the paper. Congratulations for pleasing 15 women for an entire day. We were all exhausted and very satisfied, and we look forward to next year. I love it. You know, and that reminds me, and I'm going to take a shot at myself, or not going to take, I'm going to plug myself here. Go to my imperfection blog online on WordPress, and you'll find a lot of stuff like this. It's really been a lot of fun, and I can't believe how many people are actually following it, Joel. It's really been great.
I have an idea. Why don't you put some ads on it or something, you know?
Yeah,
I mean,
we'll see. Right now it's just a light thing. You know, as I said, you know, we've been talking a lot about social media and franchise community over the last couple of weeks. And I know we've been doing a bunch of stuff online, and we've been doing webinars and speaking engagements and working on people's blogs. And let's talk social media in a franchise environment, Joel.
Okay. What would you like to talk about, Paul?
Well, I know you have that new site set up. If you could let people know what that site is, as you and I are joining some forces together to help
sure,
the franchise
sure.
community.
Sure. What the heck is it? I think it's franchisesocialmarketing.com and franchisesocialmedia.com will take you there also. We are trying to get the word out that you don't have to be afraid of social media marketing, that it is not the end all, it's not a home run, it's just another, as I would say, another spoke in your wheel. If you look at it like a bicycle wheel that has spokes, it's just another spoke. It's just another way to get the word out, except the really cool thing about social media marketing is you have an opportunity to be a hero and not only follow the conversation, but come up with some solutions that take place in the conversations. Because franchisors, guess what? People are talking about you online anyway. So you choose. You can be like someone who ignores customer complaints or someone who ignores some unhappy franchisees and just kind of hope that it will go away, which it won't. Or you can join in and say, look, we were wrong. Here's how we'd like to remedy it. I mean, I think that's one of the coolest things about this social media marketing. And here's something that Paul and I have discussed offline. You know, social media is such a hot buzzword, and it has been for a year and a half, probably solid. I don't think what we're doing and what we're trying to do and what everyone's trying to do right now online is going to be called social media next year or in 2 years. I don't know what it's going to be called, but nothing seems to stay the same during these fast-paced, you know, technology-related times. You agree, Paul?
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's funny. The other day when I was speaking to the Women's Franchise Network, that was one of the first things we spoke about because last year, although we knew social media was out there and we knew what it referred to, it really wasn't even called that even a year ago. Of course, we started out with everything was Web 2.0, which really related more to the tools and the technology. But last year, it was more about social networking. And as tools and applications and more sites have developed, social networking basically is being pushed to the back burner, and it's now more social media because in social media, the only way it really works and works well and effectively is a cross-platform and a multi-tiered effect. Just being on LinkedIn is not going to do much good, but referring links over to your Facebook site, referring back and forth with Twitter, posting videos on YouTube, and then putting, you know, the links on YouTube to refer back to the different social networking sites, et cetera, it's an all-encompassing thing, and that's why it's really important that companies develop a strategy before they stick their toe in the water. Yeah, and I don't know next year what it's going to be called. I've heard, you know, Web 2.1, are we going to go to Web 3.0? Who knows, but I guarantee you one thing. If you don't take advantage of it and stick that toe in the water today. Next year, you're going to be so far behind, I don't know if it'll be possible to catch up. A question that came up time and time again, I know, Jill, you've heard it, is social media a fad? Well, let's talk about some cold, hard numbers here. Forrester Research Interactive Advertising Forecast that was just done recently projects that social media will grow to $3 billion in the next 5 years, up from only $500 million in 2008. That's in addition to mobile marketing going from $200 million to $1.2 billion. That's in addition to email marketing doubling from $1.1 billion. That's in addition to display advertising online, the banner ads, going from $7.6 billion to over $17 billion. And all of this is all going to tie together. And keep in mind, all the people, all the consultants and all the advisors and gurus out there that y'all spent a lot of money on in search engine optimization, that's going away because the new search engine optimization and the more effective search engine optimization is going to happen through social media with tag words, with keywords.
It's happening already.
Yeah, and they have already, and with the tools that are behind the scenes. And I know, Joel, you've got some wonderful tools on your blog and your name, because I know when I put your name in an article on my site, my viewership goes up considerably.
Really?
Yes.
Well, wow.
Just
Well, that's cool. Thank you.
Putting Franchise King or Joel Lavava on there. So, you know, this stuff works, and it's not going away. So, to all the naysayers out there and everybody that's sitting back on their duffus, hey, social media is not going away. It's here to stay.
It really is. And interestingly enough, I know you've done one presentation. I just did, and I'd like to hear about it, but I just did kind of an informal presentation. I'm on a board of directors for a Cleveland nonprofit, and they wanted to start talking about social media and should they be involved, and they knew that I was heavily involved in it. So I gave a kind of an informal presentation, and you know, I started talking about the fact that they should be having this and they should probably get a fan page going, and you know, gratis, I'll just do it, you know, and the room got so silent because, you know, they're a little fearful. Well, what do we put out there? I suggested strongly that the biggest fear they should have is that they don't keep up with it. They have to have a couple people that can go and spend an hour a day and do some updates and get some news out and use all the social networks, cross-platform style, and get it going. Because if you're just going to set up a Facebook fan page and let it hang out there, you know, it's like opening up a Batteries Plus franchise and waiting for people to walk in the door. You got to get out, man. You got to go shake hands. You have to try to get some accounts, you know. And the same is true with social media. You just can't hang your sign. Here I am. I'm on Twitter. Now what?
So basically,
you
got to get off your ass.
Yeah. Do some marketing, man.
Which is why I always promote get off your ass marketing. You know, next week when I'm going to be talking about developing the strategy. And the following week, we'll be executing the plan, and you're exactly on target. It's not enough just to start it. You need to know, you know, who's gonna be handling it, who's gonna monitor it, who's gonna post, who's gonna interact, how much time is gonna be dedicated towards it, how much money is gonna be dedicated towards it. It needs to be a plan, and it needs to be thought out. And most importantly, you need to have a goal and objective in mind to know if you're successful in your efforts. And, you know, and one thing that I really stress, too, is, you know, be fair when evaluating this. I've seen too many times, Joel, in, you know, dealing with clients where they try to do a lot of this on their own without any type of direction, and they kind of just look at it half-assed and tell their secretary, go ahead and get on Facebook and set us up a fan page.
Right,
and then
right.
they try to do a couple of little cutesy things, you know, over the next couple of months, and then they finally throw up their hands and they say, this crap doesn't work.
Yeah, it doesn't work, right.
And that's not fair. It's not fair. Develop a strategy. You know, in franchising, you know, looking at it, you know, there's three benefits that I have found, and I know there are some others, but, you know, directly towards the franchise brand with social media. The first, of course, is creating brand awareness, both with the franchise candidates, potential franchisees, and consumers alike. I mean, the more you have out there, you know, a franchise company's goal and objective might be to generate franchise sales, but you know what? Just being out there on the internet, just cross-referencing back and forth to different social media platforms, you're going to go ahead and generate interest and brand awareness in your consumers as well. The second thing is, I think, and I'm seeing this now with some of my clients, it's generating more qualified franchise leads that hopefully will wind up as franchise sales. Why? Because like we always speak about, they're more sophisticated, they're more educated, they're more technologically advanced than ever before, and they're spending more time online doing the due diligence that is necessary to make the proper decision. So by the time they turn from being an interested party to a franchise lead, they've already done enough homework that when they say, I'm interested in your concept, they're pretty much qualified at that point. I think you're going to see less and less tire kickers through social media efforts. And then, of course, the last thing, Joel, you and I have talked about, and we don't know where this is going to go because social media is so new, is establishing an interactive environment of communications and information, sharing at all levels of a franchise organization. I know a lot of sites now have franchisees, franchise candidates, franchise executives, the founder, there's video, there's photos, there's articles, there's a blog, all on one site, all tied together with sharing of information and it being an interactive community. It has to work towards establishing a very good line of communication, which, of course, we know is essential to successful franchising.
It's really cool, especially some of the stuff you're doing. You know, I've only been involved halfway with some social media campaigns, just kind of jump-starting it, but you've done them from start to finish. Are the franchisors that you're working with pleased with the results? Are they happening slower, or are they happening a little quicker than they thought?
I don't think it's happening any slower than they thought, although they are very anxious and they're just anxious to see results. And I know when I work with them and I develop a strategy with their assistants, it takes me about a month to really put the strategy into place and get the ball rolling. Now, part of it has to do with the interaction with the franchisor, because the one thing that's key, and I spoke about this week on the webinar series, is identifying the target. Joel, I can't believe how many franchisors out there don't know or have not yet identified who their ideal franchisee is and who their ideal franchise, you know, candidate is. They have not set up a profile as of yet. And if you don't know who you're looking to attract, you're just going to be out there with a shotgun trying to hit everything under the sun. And I know I've said this before in working with a supplemental education franchise. When I asked them that question, and to me it was obvious who their ideal candidate should be, because I knew who their most successful franchisees were. And when it came back, it was teachers. It was educators. 72% of the franchisees that they themselves identified as being the most successful in their organization were teachers, had an educational background. And yet,
wow.
And yet, when they did their marketing, their franchise marketing for franchise candidates, very little effort, if any at all, was directed towards educators and teachers. Well, to me, if I've got 100% advertising budget and 72% of my existing franchisee, of my successful franchisees are teachers, I would probably take 72% of my advertising budget and direct it towards educators.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? But it's amazing how many do not know who their ideal franchise candidate is, and they haven't taken the time to identify it. And, you know, social media, and I understand, you know, people being anxious and they want to see it work, but, you know, it takes work. It takes effort. It takes a lot of due diligence to have the proper information to know who you're going to target. And the thing that I highly recommend that all franchisors do is come up with four ideal franchise candidate profiles and then four secondary profiles. And based on your successful franchisees, operate your advertising and your marketing, direct your advertising and your marketing proportionately to how many of your successful franchisees fall into each of these categories. And I believe in doing so, I mean, you know, you look back at this example, like I said, the supplemental education, 72% are teachers. If they go ahead and bring on 80% new franchisees that are not in the teaching category, do you think there's a good chance those franchisees, or a better chance those franchisees, will fail than the candidates that are coming out of the educational background? I would think so.
I would think so. You know, Sean Kelly seems to be doing a pretty good job discussing, shall we say, some franchisors that might be having some issues. And I left a comment on over at Franchise Pick. And, you know, you and I discussed this, some of the coaching franchises out there that are selling franchises to prospective franchise owners so they can go out and coach executives and coach small businesses. The problem I've always had, and I have first-hand knowledge because I know two people that went under in their little coaching businesses. You know, what is it with the coaching executives in these franchises that, you know, the franchisors that keep selling franchises to folks that would make fantastic coaches but don't know how to sell and market? Because I said it on my comment to Sean, you know what? A coaching franchise happens to be a sales and marketing franchise first and a coaching franchise second. Because if you can't go out and convince people to spend $2,000 or $3,000 a month with you, then all the coaching skills that you think you have or that you probably do have, you're not going to be able to use.
Absolutely.
You have to start at the beginning. You don't have to start at the beginning. You have to start with the sale. And if these franchisors dare to sell franchises to folks that don't have sales and marketing ability to go out and find clients, then shame on them. It's just wrong.
I agree. And adding insult to injury, there's a lot of franchisors outside the coaching industry that don't even talk about basic sales 101, basic marketing 101 in their franchisee training. I mean, really, you can extend that beyond coaching. I mean, yeah, it'd be nice. And I'm not talking about, you know, fast food places, although let me back up and I will talk about some food places, because I know of a Quiznos franchisee in the Houston market that is was a client of mine. He's no longer with Quiznos, I believe. I'm not sure. I think he's gone. He's got some other interests now in Smoothie King. But he had a Quiznos franchise, and it wasn't doing well. It was in an area that had a big Barnes & Noble in their shopping center. They had a Target that expanded, but yet for the most part there were some other big box realtors that went out, and the shopping center really didn't have the activity that it did when they signed their lease. And what they did was, you know, they were barely breaking even with their lunch and their small dinner crowd, and they got out into the community. And they got out into the schools, and they started providing a service to the band and the football teams and the basketball teams that were going to away events. So instead of the coach having to stop the bus and go through a McDonald's and everybody, you know, buy their own food, this Quiznos set up a program where they can go on, the parents could go online and order sandwiches for the next day or that week, that the kids, as they got on the bus, received their sandwich, received their drink, received their cookie with it, and it really helped his business tremendously, and it provided a great service for the parents. And it was more of a safety issue for the coaches not having to stop in a McDonald's parking lot and keep track of where the kids were going. And he wound up getting out into about 15 different schools across several different school districts, and it basically saved his business that wasn't going to be successful just waiting for the foot traffic to come in the door. So under any type of franchise business, franchisees that are out there, get off your ass and get into the community, because that's what it's going to take your business to new levels. And if you are successful in your business, why not make it more successful by getting out into the community and getting off your ass and making it happen?
That is absolutely true. You've got to make it happen. Just because you purchase a franchise does not mean you're not going to be doing all the work after you buy it. The franchisor does not hold your hand the second week in business and say, okay, let's go find some customers. You got to do it. So be prepared. You've got to do it. And the rewards can be nice.
You know, a couple of weeks ago, I had posted a blog article about, you know, has LinkedIn run its course? And Jenny Dietrich over at Armin Dietrich came out with a nice article, I think it was the night before last, on their blog, Spin Sucks, about utilizing LinkedIn for their, you know, part of their social media efforts. And she did a great job, and I highly recommend anybody go to spinsucks.com and read that post. She's got some tremendous tips on there on how to use LinkedIn, because I personally feel, and she quoted me at this, that LinkedIn has become the social networking stepchild because it doesn't have a lot of the interactive tools and applications that we can find on Facebook. But, you know, with 30 million people involved in LinkedIn and it being very career and business driven, I highly recommend people use her tips and use LinkedIn to your advantage. You know, some of the things that we've done with Facebook, you know, you asked about franchisors and how happy they are they anxious and stuff? And again, it comes down to understanding that ideal franchise profile. Let's talk a second, Joel, about, you know, this supplemental education franchise. If teachers are their primary franchise candidate that they should go after, wouldn't it make sense in Facebook for them to join and tap into Facebook groups where there are educators and teachers?
Absolutely. That's what they should be doing.
And just like, you know, you have your blog for veterans and stuff like that, if there are franchise organizations that want to target military personnel or transitioning military personnel that have come back from Iraq or retiring, and they're getting out into the business world and are looking to become entrepreneurs, I'm sure they're in a lot of those Facebook groups that are dedicated to military. Your presence should be there as well. And here's the thing, too. Don't just become a member and sit on your ass and do nothing. Again, we're talking about getting off your ass. You know, create a fan page, create a book, a group page, join fan pages and group pages, but frequently post items of interest and links. In between, post some information about your concept. Use technology. Use photos. Use videos. Use blogs. You need to know how to set up a blog? Call Joel. I don't know anybody, Joel, and I'm not just blowing smoke up your ass on this show, okay? You definitely know how to get a blog out there and get it recognized by people.
Thank you. Thank you. You know what? I've been doing this blogging thing for coming on 5.5 years now, almost. Yeah, 5.5 years. And, you know, it takes a long time to get going. I mean, there are, I think the figure is there still might be, I don't know, 20,000 blogs being started every day, not just here, though, all over the world. So
right.
You have to compete with, you know. So there are ways to get recognized, and it involves your own personal network and a professional network. And it involves being transparent and writing about things that hopefully people care about. So, yeah, thank
right.
you. Thank you very much for the compliment. I appreciate it.
You know, you're very welcome. And then, of course, you know, a lot of people say, well, I don't know about Twitter. You know, in my opinion, I think Twitter is the glue that pulls it all together.
Me too.
I think Twitter is the glue that allows you to stretch your Facebook efforts over to LinkedIn and back and forth. To me, Twitter is the glue to self-promote. Twitter is the glue to post some interesting articles. You know, some of the tips that I have on that is post links that touch on your franchise concept. It doesn't mean it
right.
has to promote it. That touch on your franchise concept. I know, like with my client MomCorp, because obviously there's a lot of moms returning to the workforce. They have over 30,000
right.
in their database. They're interested in more than, you know, finding a job or getting into business for themselves. So what we do is we post a lot of information there about school lunches, about the swine flu, about different things that moms might be interested in because it touches upon the concept. And, of course, post links to your concept's website and blogs. Post links to press releases, events, and appearances. There's too many times I hear about, you know, a CEO being on, you know, an early morning segment on TV, and nobody knows
mm-hmm.
about it.
That's right.
That's crazy.
That's right.
You can get on Twitter and millions of people could find out about it. I mean, did you see yesterday or the day before yesterday the guy in the stands at the Phillies game that caught
yeah.
the foul ball? And he
yeah.
handed it to his two or three-year-old daughter?
Yeah, about
she
three.
She immediately
yeah.
took it, she threw it back.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
I mean, something like that has gone viral, and there was no
oh,
advance
yeah.
notice of it. Just think of what you can do with your effort if you know you're going to be on a small little early morning talk show locally and promote it ahead of time, promote it while it's happening, you know, have the link to the video broadcast afterwards and run with it. Post it on your Facebook page. Do
right,
it
right.
on your LinkedIn. I mean, it's an amazing way to get things to go viral. And here's something that I've been doing a lot of, Joel, and I'm not even sure if you're aware of it. Search and follow celebrities. You know, I take it, you know, very tongue-in-cheek and, you know, say I'm not going to get much of this by writing to Oprah on Twitter. But, you know.
Or in your case, Rick Sanchez.
Yeah, Rick Sanchez is a great example. Right.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, it's just you send out some cute little comment, you post something, you ask them outright, you know, hey, you know, follow us or take a look at what we're doing. And it is amazing the opportunities that open up. And it's amazing that, you know, some of these celebrities have millions of followers that you can tap into. And somebody, you know, said to me, well, geez, you know, how can I figure out, you know, the millions of followers that they have where it's going to do me any good? That's all you need to do is follow them for a little while, see who's regularly posting
mm-hmm.
that they're involved in, and look for the ones that are most active because those are the ones that are going to take you to new places. You know, and that leads into my next tip on Twitter, which is, you know, research followers' profiles and then follow significant individuals, something that you can hang your hat with. Search and follow individuals and companies within your ideal franchise profile. Again, if you're online and you're in a supplemental education concept and you're following, you see people that have an education background, follow them, look at who they follow, look at who they interact with, and post information, and it'll generate interest. That, I think, is really important with Twitter. Twitter is, to me, is just phenomenal.
It is, and I wanted to point out something. You were saying to, you were suggesting to post links to things that relate to your franchise concept. Right. And obviously you want to, you know, spread links around for things that are just interesting, you know, that have nothing to do with you or franchising.
Right.
I don't know if you, did you read the Twitter's terms of service that just came out a week ago?
I glanced at it.
Okay. Well, here's something that everyone should know, and it was, I didn't have to search real hard to find this one. The terms of service are suggesting, and not gently, that you don't use Twitter just to put links on.
Right.
That you have to really, really remember what it was there for at first. And it started to create short conversational pieces. So be careful and make sure that you, I don't know if you've been following me all the last 4 or 5 days, but I'm just putting stuff out there like, you know, who would have thunk that, you know, that this assistant farm director of an Iowa radio station in 1980 would be talking about things on Twitter and franchising right now. I'm just putting stuff out there. I put that thing out there an hour ago about some guy wants to help me make, you know, millions in real estate. I have 4 or 5 people that said, Joel, keep your day job. Joel, don't put your crown down. You know, I didn't link to anything. So make sure that you guys and gals are doing that, or else Twitter could penalize you. Be careful.
Right. Absolutely. And I know I post a lot of links as well. And I think the ones that they really are referring to are the ones that use the Twitter tools and pre-program lot of links during the week and a lot of times. And it takes away from that live effort. It basically is not interactive at that point. And it's the reason why I don't use a lot of the tools that are out there, because I want to be live. I want to interact. If I post something and somebody immediately comes back and says, even if it's about a link, hey, great link, I'm going to be more apt to respond to them and start talking to them about it. And then I won't have nothing but links out there. You know,
hold on 1 second. Can you just hold on 1 second? Because I have a hungry dog here. You're going to hear some noise. He's going to get some food, so I hope you're okay, but it's his birthday, so we're okay with that.
Happy birthday.
Winston, are you hungry, buddy? Are you hungry?
You know, some other social media efforts, I mean, we talked about develop and promote a company blog. One that I've really fallen in love with, Joel, is develop and promote webinars. I think webinars are not used often enough. They're not used effectively enough. People don't know how to do them. If anybody wants to learn, give me a call. I'll be more than happy to work them through it. Webinars are a great way of, you know, promoting your stuff, expanding upon, you know, even little tweets on how to get a blog set up, I think would be...
Hey, wait a second. Hey, I resemble that remark.
There you go. You know, another thing, too, is make sure to post photos on Flickr and post videos on YouTube. You know, YouTube is no longer just for some kids, you know, pulling pranks behind the local Kmart. There's so much educational stuff on there as well. Or using food in obscene ways, working at the local pizza franchise.
Unreal.
Isn't it? You know, another thing, too, is explore these niche social networks, or as a lot of people say, niche,
whatever.
I think they're great on Ning.com. It's great. Start your own social network. It's amazing how far you can go. And then more importantly than anything, Joel, explore Internet radio. I love Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, they do a nice job for us, don't they?
Yes, they do. And tag wherever possible. I mean, even on, you know, stuff like Blog Talk Radio, we've got, you know, taglines out there. We've got keywords we can place in our description. If you're on YouTube, the same is true. If you're on Flickr, the same is true for photos. Tag wherever and however possible. I know you've got a lot of tags going on behind the scenes for your blogs and stuff, and I think that's probably a big reason why you get so much activity on your sites.
Yeah, but I want more, man. I want more. You can't stop with this stuff, you know. I mean, you really can't stop. You got to press.
We'll get you on the top of Pike's Peak yelling it out, right?
Hey, why not?
Yeah. Well, you know, another thing, too, is link to social networking sites. You know, make mention of it in your descriptions on various sites. If you post something on, YouTube in the description, you know, sneak in there, you know, how you're also promoting it on Twitter. Put your Twitter ID in there. You'll find ways to be creative and, you know, establish that cross-platform, multi-tiered effect that we talk about. And more importantly than anything, and I know I use more importantly way too often, but make sure to integrate your efforts with traditional strategies. You know, Joel, a lot of people have said, direct mail is going by the wayside. But let's just say you're a company and you're using direct mail, you're a little fast food place, and you're sending out direct mail coupons. What is it going to take to put right on the coupon, follow us on Twitter at, or, you know, become a fan of our Facebook page and get them involved in a lot of different interactive activities in addition to your static traditional strategies?
Right.
You know, it's a great way to go. It's the most effective way to go. Integrate them. Social media is not going to take the place of all your traditional activities. It's only there.
Yeah, you still got to do the other stuff. Yeah, true.
Right, absolutely. You know, and like Nike says, you know, just do it. They don't say just try it. They say do it. Absolutely
right.
Do it. You know, let me give a synopsis real quick, or an example here real quick of some of the Twitter activity that we've used for MomCore. You know, and this is from a 1 hour period on Twitter on one particular day. We had our first post on MomCore that day was, "Hey moms, challenging work in your respective field that allows you to maintain life-work balance. Apply today," and it directed them to their website.
Mm-hmm.
And another one was, I mean, this was shortly afterwards, "Moms, tell us about your concerns, family, work, or finances for the future. Send us an email." We had a lot of people that sent in emails, and it created that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Short while later, it was a letter from MomCore's CEO and founder, Allison O'Kelly, about the MomCore franchise opportunity. So now we focused on the franchise opportunity. Then we had three short links there that related to shopping and retail, which, of course, a lot of moms are interested in. And it had to do with something at JCPenney, something at Barney's, and something at Bergdorf's. And then we finished it up with a link to a video, an interview that the MomCore CEO, Allison Kelly, had on Fox TV in Washington, D.C. That was our activity for the day. That took maybe 20 minutes to do. It took maybe another half an hour to gather the information, pull it out of emails, pull it out of different sites, and thinking ahead. So in less than an hour, and then we took a lot of this stuff and countered it into our Facebook page, and, which is really great, there are applications where one on one social network will automatically post into the other social network. So in less than an hour on that particular day, we got a good Facebook presence and we got a good Twitter presence. So when people say,
awesome,
I don't have the time, I'm sorry, I disagree.
Yeah, there's a lot of it's automated. Like you said, you can automate it and use it to your advantage. That's
exactly
what you're doing, is using technology. That's
right.
How to do it.
And create it in such a way where there is interaction and it's not just links. It's really important. You'll love Twitter. Anybody out there that's not on Twitter, force yourself to get involved with Twitter. You will absolutely fall in love with it. It is the glue that will hold your entire social media strategy together. And you'll love it. You'll love seeing that little bird. Although I despise seeing that stupid whale error pop up time and time again. I don't even know where they came up with a whale for that.
Yeah, I don't understand that. I'm sure there are people that do, and I'm not really sure if I want to meet them. But, yeah, you know, it's just weird stuff, man. Why
you know what would be great? Let's establish our own fail application that you can customize yourself. Instead of seeing the whale, you could see Winston, the franchise dog, or Dolce, the social media wonder dog. Hey, Twitter, are you listening? Let us customize our own fail page. Hey, Joel, it's amazing how fast we've blown by an hour.
Well,
we've
got
seconds left.
Cool.
Joel, as always, it was a great pleasure. We're running out of time. Be good, be safe. And until next week, we'll see you on the Franchise Essential Show. Myself, Paul Segretto, and my co-host, Joel Labava, are out.
Ta-ta.